listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Listen to the wonderful words of this song, Out of My Bonnie Sorrow and Night. Reading the second stanza, Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of our sorrows into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. I would like to read again today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We read this last week, but there's much here. I'm sure that we do not learn, though we may read it a number of times. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, and the words of Nicodemus again to the Lord Jesus. There came to Jesus by night a ruler of the Jews, a rabbi, who said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Let's pray that we will have not only understanding of these words, but we will have the experience of the blessing, that we will be taken away from the fact of not believing. He that believeth not is condemned already. But in the end, and in that wonderful verse, he that believeth shall not perish. Believing in and on Christ, believing the truth, coming to the light, as it is in Christ Jesus alone, who is the light of the world. Let's pray, because of him, that God will send the Spirit spoken of here to give us the new birth, to lead us into all truth, for the glory of God, for the reviving of the church, for the saving of the world. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking in his name that which is so much needed. We pray for these things that are spoken of here, the new birth, the gospel, the work of the Spirit, both in the new birth and all things, also to understand the condemnation is there in unbelief, and the blessing in doing truth, that our deeds may be made known, that they are manifest from Thee, and Thy work wrought in us. We think of the words, Thy words, Lord Jesus, spoken later, that it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of the Father, and those that are taught of the Father will come to Thee. And we pray that Thou would make us, enable us, to come to Thee, even as we sang, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, in all the other ways of sorrow, sin, and need, to come to Thee, one Savior, one Lord, one God. Father, we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. As we consider these words once again, we've considered them in our last message, and we want to return to that again. We only, as it were, touch the hem of the garment. There is so much there that needs to be received, believed, endured, sound doctrine, the doctrine of the new birth, the doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of truth, repentance, and coming by faith, then, to Christ. Coming that it shows that God has brought us, even as Christ also said later, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That is certainly implied there in that last verse. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, they are wrought in God. All the good things have their beginning in God. God alone is good, and God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. If we have salvation, it has been given to us by God. It is a gift. As Paul said to the Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then also, how we are created unto good works in Christ Jesus, all to the glory of God, all from God, all by God, and then all will return to God. Here the Lord Jesus said in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We think of the Lord Jesus, who was the same yesterday, today, and forever, in time, but we can also think of it in place. He came down from heaven, and he says he is in heaven. And when he is in heaven, he is also on the earth. He said before he left this earth, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In the book of Revelation, John was told to write to the seven churches in Asia. He said he held the seven stars, which are the angels of the churches, in his right hand. He said he walked in the midst of the golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches. He's there, everywhere. He is the creator of the world, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. To him be all glory. He must and does have the preeminence. And we need to see that here, in his perfect teaching, to Nicodemus and to us. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Even that wonderful truth, which Nicodemus did not understand, but yet understood better than many today. He knew it was a second birth. He knew that he had to be born again, not understanding rightly how, not understanding the spiritualness of it, but he knew that it was the second birth. Many want to rest these words and say, well, it doesn't necessarily mean again, it can be from above. Yes, it is from above, but it is also again. Have you been born again? Or are you still in the flesh? Has God showed you, opening your eyes, to show you his kingdom, to show yourself outside of it? You don't begin in it. You have to be born again to see it. You also have to be born again to enter into it. That's what Christ said the second time when he spoke to Nicodemus. First, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For it means no understanding of it. The apostles, all through the 3 years of Christ, did not really see the heart of the kingdom of God. When Christ spoke of his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, we read they did not understand these things. On the afternoon of his resurrection, we read in Luke chapter 24, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and that he give to them the gospel out of those scriptures that had already long before been written of him. Yes, as God says, there is none that understandeth. The way we get understanding is through the new birth, beginning to see the kingdom of God, beginning to have in our hearts also the desire to enter into that kingdom, knowing that we are without, knowing that we must have what God gives all through his way, his new and living way in Christ, but also by his word, his spirit. In verse 5, verily, verily, giving the emphasis, saying it twice, truly, truly, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You are not in the kingdom of God by baptism. You might want to rest the word and say, well, water and the Spirit. There are those who say when we baptize in the name of the Father, God makes an eternal covenant. You do not have that in Scripture. You might say, well, it came in the place of circumcision. That was not given in Scripture. It was not given in circumcision. Abram had it before circumcision. Ishmael did not receive it in circumcision. You must see what the Scripture says. And if you want to identify yourself with circumcision instead of the true baptism of God, you are putting yourself under the law, putting yourself guilty, and will always be guilty if that's all you have. Always. You must have more than what God gives in the promise of circumcision. That was given. Later, God said he would give, basically, the new birth to Israel and to Judah. Not according to the covenant he made with them earlier. Which covenant they break. Yes, it may well be still in the future of that wonderful promise given, recorded in Jeremiah. It says, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Oh, if we only knew when those days would be. But we're really not told. After those days. Something certainly the second time, a later time. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Has that happened to Israel? Has that happened to Judah? It's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Both. I will make this covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Many want to say, well, this is the church. Even in the church. Must we say that we are not to teach our brother anymore? Is the church that way today? Certainly not. It needs to be revived. And I fear many in the church, reading John Newton some time ago. He spoke back in the 1700s, 18th century, and he said that he felt in the church of which he was a part that less than only 10% really knew the Lord. 90% had form and not the reality. And those were certainly better days than today. They were days that were in the time of what we call the Great Awakening. It took place here in this country. Under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Mr. Frelinghuysen, Tenants, others. God gave great blessing in the church and revived it, and also added to the church numbers to be that were saved. And the same thing in England. And yet, John Newton wrote that, seeing it, stating it. Yes, the church is not one. It does not have God's law written on their hearts together. We are very separate. I was reading the history of a local church here and their separation. And someone wrote they did not separate on truly biblical grounds. Then they would be the true church, leaving a false church. But that has not always happened. And we need to see and understand and certainly have things differently than they were when Christ was here on earth. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes. Christ took out of different walks in life his apostles. And first of all, during his ministry, as we said a little while ago, they didn't understand. But even worse than that, they had strife among themselves right to the end, arguing who was the greatest, when none of them were great at all. When Christ died on the cross, they forsook him and fled. What will you do when persecution comes? Will you stand? Will you show that you have been born again? Will you show that you are on the rock Christ? Will you show that you're there the way he said it? He that heareth my sayings and doeth them is like the man that built his house on this rock. If you're a preacher, will you preach the new birth as Christ did, first of all, that nobody can see the kingdom of God except they're born again, that nobody can enter into the kingdom of God until they're born of water and the Spirit applying the word, the Spirit taking the word and, as at Thessalonica, making it come in power? That's what Paul could write to them. We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, the water of the word. Without faith it's impossible to please God, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. That will be the result of the new birth. That will not bring on the new birth, but the new birth will take place as God is working, opening the heart to receive the word, teaching, leading into all truth with the Holy Spirit, convicting, as we said last week, of sin, because they believe not, Christ said, on me. Believing not. That's where he has to start with us. Everyone, myself and you, all of us, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Yes, for both. One to see and the other to enter in. As I said, one to see that we are outside of the kingdom. I remember when I began to see the kingdom of God, see it differently than I had ever seen before. And I said to a man that I was studying with, except God save me, I'll go to hell. I could see the kingdom, but I had no claim to it. And only the God of grace could bring me into that kingdom by faith, through Christ, and because of Christ, through the forgiveness of sins, through the adoption, through the new birth, through the quickening, all of those things that are in Scripture, through the eating of the body of Christ, drinking the blood of Christ, all of that he brings us to do, all by faith, all by hearing the word of God, and all by the mighty work of the Spirit. Oh, have you had that? Do you have churchianity or Christianity? Do you have the living God working in you? Or do we have only the form of godliness, the tradition, the imitation, which God said would come so much in the last days? They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. I said last week how some deny that power and what they do, looking at it as a mental problem. That was there at the Great Awakening, and it's been here through the years since. God has taught me, I've seen it, heard it too often. But Christ here gives that wonderful message, and he doesn't just give it alone. He gives the whole message that Nicodemus had to hear. The message of the new birth, the message of the gospel, the message of the depravity that Nicodemus had and you and I have, and the answer sealed. Wonderful. Christ is the complete teacher, the complete savior. Everything is in him. and everything can come from him. And as we said earlier of God, he's the giver of every good and perfect gift, the lesser ones and the greater ones. Yes, God is the giver of those gifts. A well-known evangelist has stated and written, God is powerless unless you let him. What a lie! What a lie! Oh, I hope God has taught that man before he dies that he's the powerful God that can give the new birth to a rebellious, proud, religious sinner, the greatest of the evangelists, the greatest of the preachers. I think of a book given to me, How God Saved a Baptist Preacher. I think of other preachers gone through their education. Thomas Goodwin was made after his education to struggle, after he wanted to imitate the most popular preachers. God had to make him as a little child to teach him, to bring him into the right way, through the new birth, through repentance, through faith, through learning from God, taught of God to come to Christ. Oh, have you been taught of God and made to come to Christ? Come. First as a lost sinner, then come again and again and again and again for more of Christ, more of his power, more of the work of the Spirit. I was thinking as I was preparing this, how often do we need it? If we'd live 100 years after we're saved, how many days would we need the blessing of the Spirit? 365,000 times. We're to have it every day. Every day we need it. But we need it in the beginning. Except a man be born again, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yes, Nicodemus knew that clearly, that it was the second time. He may have been born of what he thought was a godly mother. He may have been born of what he thought was a godly father. He may have believed he was in the Abrahamic covenant, in the Abrahamic lineage. But Christ said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, one of the best groups of people, the most strict of the Jews, one of the best of them, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Oh, let's pray that God will teach masters and servants together, that all of us will experience the new birth and the blessings that come with it through and in Christ Jesus alone.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.